Well, hello and welcome to the Psychedelic Diaries. I am your host, Ray Christian, and do we have a show for you today. Madison Margolin, the founder and editorial director of Double Blind, will be here for a deep dive and a soul search. As usual, do a little bit of critique and a little bit of praise for two psychedelic companies with a slap and a clap. And of course, we'll start the show with a nugget and a noodle. Producer Kevin is here, and he is literally microdosing right now. So please like and subscribe. Oh, come on, dude. You said you didn't mind. Okay, well, anyways, well, let's kick things off with a nugget and a noodle. In today's news nugget, Detroit citizens will now have a chance to fully decriminalize psychedelics. Mark your calendars for November 2nd, as this groundswell grassroots movement is nothing short of scintillating. And bravo to you, Motor City. And as for the noodle, something I've been noodling on, the idea of full legalization of psychedelics. With recent news like the DEA lawsuit in Washington, this 5,000% increase in research limits, let's just for a second imagine a full dream of what this could look like. So just like the DEA did with CBD, they don't move it to Schedule 2 or 3, they completely pull it off the schedule and psychedelics are legal. What would that look like? Perhaps dispensaries, perhaps a world with psychedelic day spas, maybe even retreats for creativity and problem solving. Something to noodle on. Well, that's it for a nugget and a noodle. Producer Kevin, are we all synced up properly with Madison? Ladies and gentlemen, if I may direct your attention, she is the co-founder and editorial director of Double Blind, one of my favorite psychedelic companies, Madison. Thank you for joining the show.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, well, let's dive right in. Madison, I love Double Blind. You guys might be my favorite psychedelic company, and the newsletter, the videos, the content, the magazine, obviously. And I originally found you guys with the How to Grow Mushrooms video series. I'm a buyer, I'm a client, and it is bold, it is brilliant, it is empowering. And I'm curious, Madison, what was it like as you and the team decided, no, we're going to teach people how to grow psilocybin mushrooms?
One of our writers actually pitched a story on growing mushrooms. And we, you know, we were aware at the, before we even started the whole course, you know, we had this story that was pitched, and we also were aware that there were questions around growing mushrooms in a city environment, you know, kind of going with this whole grow your own movement. And, you know, at the same time, there's a lot of controversy in the psychedelic space around access to psychedelics. So you have people who are trying to decriminalize it through like Decrim Nature initiatives. And you also have the FDA, you know, imminent FDA approval of synthetic psilocybin, which again would be in a much more closed off way. You would have to have a prescription, and not, God knows like what that would look like with in terms of insurance and access and whatever. So the concept here is to really democratize people's access to their medicine, to their food. You can grow any kind of mushroom, of course. It doesn't have to be psilocybin. It could be reishi, lion's mane, turkey tail, you know, all of that. And so, yeah, it's a lot of it is around empowering people to really take things into their own hands. And there's a whole community around it. And, you know, at the same time, like, you know, we are hoping to be, you know, something of a masterclass for psychedelics. Or that kind of content, right? So we teach people how to grow mushrooms. We have courses on like Psychedelics 101. And again, we really want people to be able to interact with our content in different ways. So, you know, with our, in regard to like our business model, rather than relying on advertisers who might compromise our journalistic integrity, rather people can just interact with the journalism itself, interact with psychedelic content itself, through different avenues, through our articles, through online courses, through our webinars, you know, through other types of means.
I love that. The company overall, this idea, the empowering concept, this idea of teaching a man to fish, it's so innovative. And I'm curious, what kind of feedback are you getting from customers that have used the product or even just other people in this industry?
Yeah, I mean, people are really into it. They're excited about it. And again, you know, part of the double blind course is that you have a whole cohort with you. So there's different kind of Slack channels or whatever as far as people who are learning how to grow and can connect with each other, can connect with our expert mycologists. So the feedback is really, I think, just coming from people who are excited to do this as a hobby or do it as a way, again, to like have more agency and control over what they put in their bodies. And then what was your other question? You asked about the psychedelic.
Just the feedback like, you're getting, how people like it, the customers and even just others in the psychedelic industry.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So yeah, that's kind of it is like, I think there's a lot of positivity and excitement around it.
Yeah. Congrats on that. So switching gears a little bit, Madison, your Rolling Stone article on the DEA lawsuit and the scheduling nuances was fantastic. So thank you for that. It seems like there is a lot at stake with this movement. And, you know, I alluded to it a little bit in the noodle, but let's just wave a magic wand, Madison, and imagine we achieve full legalization. Maybe some time goes by afterwards. What does a society look like with ubiquitous and intentional psychedelic use?
It looks like a society where everybody has equal access to the medicine or to the substances, if that's what they want. So it's democratized. And ideally, it also looks like a society where people are taking psychedelic values and then applying them to other parts of life. So, you know, when you say, what is the psychedelic approach to business, to economics, to agriculture? You know, are we a society that, you know, houses its homeless and is taking, you know, steps toward environmental remediation, or, you know, voting for people who are going to implement better economic structures than what we currently have, for instance. So like, for me, the society is about more than just having shroom dispensaries as like another sort of like capitalist venture that's going to be the next weed, but rather about like integrating the values that you can come to under the influence of a psychedelic and then apply that into other parts of society.
I like that a lot. Integrating the values of psychedelic medicine and applying that. Speaking of which, Madison, my years of psilocybin therapy have drastically changed me as a person, but also as a tech entrepreneur. And I'm curious, it kind of feels like you were meant for this space where you had, I loved how I read where your father was one of the guys that defended Timothy Leary. And I'm curious for you, how have psychedelics impacted your career?
Yeah, I mean, they're one of my biggest inspirations. You could say that psychedelics and psychedelic culture are my muse in a lot of ways. So, I, you know, like you mentioned, I kind of grew up in psychedelic culture, like everybody who my parents were friends with, you could say had their own psychedelic experiences. And so I was just raised in a culture where people were open to psychedelics and where it wasn't stigmatized and where it just influenced everything from, you know, my community's spiritual practices to the art that they made, to the music that they sang and listened to their lifestyle and diets and yoga practices. You know, I think psychedelics really helped set people on a path. I wouldn't say psychedelics are the path in and of themselves, but again, they make you open to other things that you can then kind of fill your life with. You know, and I, you know, personally, like I tried psychedelics for the first time when I was 18, and it was one of the most transcendent days of my life. And I just feel really passionate about it. And, you know, having written a lot about cannabis and also a lot about religion and spirituality, psychedelics are a very natural part of that whole conversation. And so that's kind of where my inspiration comes from. And, you know, I think when you're passionate about something and inspired, you do good work. And so that's hopefully what I'm doing through Double Blind and my other journalism.
You really are doing good work. And by the way, when I saw your course for the first time, I was starting to initially research the industry. And I had an analyst on the team look in 2018 because there was a lot of overlap with the tech we built. And there was really not much. And when I saw your company, I was like, wow. Okay, this is real, and something really special is happening. So thank you for all that you've done, Madison. Switching gears a little bit, you talked about your experience at 18. One of the most impactful mystical experiences I have had was a visceral reaction with deceased family. And it was my father and my two grandparents. And I'm not really big into the paranormal or the woo-woo, as you would call it, but this experience was, to this day, I'm like, no, it was them. It was them. And the takeaway, I remember that it was the three of them together. And I said, you know, I miss you guys. And they responded with, just so proud of you. And that moment, it still brings tears to my eyes and resonates with me today. And I'm curious, what's a mystical experience for you that is still with you?
Yeah, wow. That's a really beautiful story. So thank you for sharing. I could just make a podcast out interviewing people about their mystical experience. So
that's kind of what this is.
Yeah. So yeah, I'd say a mystical experience for me. I mean, I've had a few moments of mysticism, you could say. You know, like the first time I did psychedelics, I really understood the phrase "be here now" on an embodied level for the first time, and like that, you know, it wasn't like an epiphany. It was just like, oh, like I get it. Be here now. Like I feel that in my body, in my bones. You know, other times that I've done it, that was with mushrooms. I've had different experiences with MDMA or ayahuasca, where I guess I just was tapping into like complete presence. And MDMA in particular really helps me with that. And just feeling like this connection, like just, it's not really something I can put into words, but like you know, there was a time where I was on MDMA and my mother was like in and out of the hospital and I was really scared. And I found myself praying and I was like going back and forth, like just kind of rocking back and forth praying on MDMA. And I just felt like so connected doing that. So yeah, that was another one. And then the third was, I was doing ayahuasca and at one point in the ceremony, like I got up and I went outside and I looked at the sky and like the stars just felt like they had like dimension to them. And then I went back inside and I was like laying down just having the trip. And I had this concept of God, I guess. Like I was thinking a lot about COVID actually, and this kind of issue around breath. Like, you know, COVID itself is like a breathing issue at its worst, right? That's what gets you. And so, you know, really being able to like see and feel like the like okayness, like behind the breath, and like tapping into like the source and like the force of life really, behind the thing that breathes. Like, I don't know. It's hard. It's very hard to explain, but
of course.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope that kind of helps you covers the answers to the question.
Oh, that was beautiful, Madison. Thank you for that share and for going through a few experiences. And I'm curious, the experiences themselves, there's tremendous value in just having gone through it, like that alone by itself, that's enough. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, in terms of moving forward, as you've had particular experiences, maybe there's an illumination or a lesson. And for you, from your intentional sessions, what's one lesson?
With the psychedelics?
Yeah.
I would say there's like always a time and place to worry. I have a lot of anxiety. And usually it's like the problem with anxiety is it just kind of like becomes this like lens over your consciousness. It's like I see the world, I see reality clearly, and then I see it through anxiety glasses. And it's like a little fuzzy and staticky and whatever. And so it's like you wear sunglasses when it's sunny and you don't wear them. And I would say like anxiety is okay, worry is okay, but like contain that experience. So like there's a time and place to like really put those glasses on and like see the worst case scenario and like life might go crazy. And then you can also take them off and be like, okay, like I had that session, you know, like have an hour a day where you just like let all of your worries out and like simmer in it, but don't let that bleed into the rest of your day or your life. That's something useful and practical that I came to under the influence of MDMA.
Wow. Well put. Thank you for that share. It kind of reminds me of this old parable I like where two young fish are swimming in the sea. An older fish swims by and says, "Hey guys, how's the water this morning?" And he swims off and the other fish, young fish, turns to the other and says, "What's water?" And it's like, it's with that lens, that anxiety lens, it can be, can color your whole existence and you don't even see it.
Yeah.
Well put. Wow. Thank you for that share. So Madison, I know you got a new course out to follow up the groundbreaking How to Grow Mushrooms, the microdosing course. Please tell us a little bit about that or maybe any other double blind projects coming up.
Yeah. So, you know, microdosing, again, this is, we really want to respond to the wants and needs of our audience. And so we do a lot of research with, you know, our Instagram audience and the way our articles perform on the site and stuff like that, as far as like, what do people want? And microdosing, of course, is so popular. People just want to understand, like, how do you even go about this practice? What is a microdose? Like, how often do you do it? You know, like, it's, microdosing sounds so simple and, you know, it is when you get the hang of it, but this is really supposed to help walk people through that. We also have a mushroom course, like we talked about earlier. We have a second one that's like for more advanced growers. We have courses on like psychedelics 101. So just kind of teaching people the ins and outs of beginning their relationship and journey with psychedelics, like which ones they want to try. What are the different psychedelics that are being used in clinical trials and for what indications? What do you do if you run into difficult experiences during your trip? How do you integrate? How do you prepare? Stuff like that. And then we have a bunch of webinars a couple times a month. So we have stuff on psychedelics and parenting. We're doing something with Michael Pollan soon, psychedelics and storytelling. I just did a webinar the other day with Dr. Del Potter on novel psychedelic substances. So stuff like 2CI, 2CB, you know, synthetic ayahuasca, controversies around those types of substances. So there are a lot of ways to interact with our site and with our content, and it can come in the form of education. It can come in the form of reading an article. We have our sixth print issue coming out this December. And we hope to also have more kind of multimedia projects in the works.
Wow. You are keeping busy. And again, thank you. You guys, you ladies are really moving the needle. And one of the companies, one of the teams that's really pushing things in this industry. And we owe you a debt of gratitude. So thank you for that. That's all the time we have for the deep dive. Madison, let's switch over to the Soul Search speed round. A few quick questions to try to get a little bit of a window into the soul of Madison Margolin. You ready?
I think so.
Okay. So four quick questions. We'll start with question number one. Madison, dead or alive, which celebrity would you like to have a psychedelic trip with?
Maybe Larry David.
Okay. Oh, that might be my favorite answer I've ever heard on that question. Okay. Question number two. Pretend you are a news reporter, or you actually are a news reporter. Pretend you are reporting on the Madison Margolin news. What would the personal headline that Madison from 2 years ago in 2019, what would she be most proud of?
As of today. That double blind is like really taken off, that I'm working on a book project. I'm starting my own podcast also with the Be Here Now Network. And I am really proud to be working. I have a really beautiful community here in New York, and we're making things happen and doing land projects and stuff like that. So it really is the dream.
2019 Madison would probably like to hear that. Okay. Similar idea. It's a little time travel concept, but the other way. Just imagine for a second that all of a sudden Madison from the year 2031, 10 years into the future, zapped into today, right in front of you, and she had 10 seconds, what do you think she would tell you?
Stop taking shit and just like be, I think I need to learn how to use my voice a little bit more. I can be very deferential, and I think I want to be more empowered to use my voice. So wow. I take back with that answer.
I love that. That's brilliant. Thank you for that. Okay, a little bit more of a fun one. Madison, you are on a desert island for 10 years, and you only get to have one mind-altering substance. Who you got?
I mean, MDMA is my favorite.
Okay, MDMA. All right, final question. Mm-hmm. What is one new habit, Madison, that you're proud of?
I mean, it's not new, but I'm really trying to do yoga, you know, on a regular basis in ways that I haven't before.
Okay, good. I love it. All right. And so where can the viewers find you, or what is an action item you would request of the viewers and listeners?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. My Instagram is at Madison Margolin. My Twitter is the opposite. So it's at Margolin Madison. You can go to doubleblindmag.com to learn more about Double Blind. You can go to my own personal website, madisonmargolin.com. I think that's pretty much it. Very easy to find me online.
Good stuff. We'll put those links in the description. Madison Margolin, thank you for joining the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, producer Kevin, it's time for our last segment of the show. This is called A Slap and a Clap. The slap and a little bit of critique goes to California legislators. Now, we had a chance to be tip of the spear, just like Oregon. And yet, Senator Scott Wiener's SB 519 bill got pushed to 2022. It's 2021. There's still 3 months left, and we are in the middle of a mental health crisis. This should be priority number one. A slap to you, California legislators. And the clap and a little bit of applause goes to Decriminalize Nature. They are a major player behind the scenes with all these decriminalization and legalization efforts, with big wins in Oakland, Oregon, Santa Cruz, just to name a few. They are truly out there making shit happen. And if you want to help end prohibition, maybe consider donating to them. So a big clap to you, Decriminalize Nature. Well, that's it for today's show. Thank you to Madison Margolin, producer Kevin. I'm Ray Christian. I'll see you next time.
Thank you.